What's up? We're back. It's another live Barncast Sunday night. It's Kyle Rush, Zach Blackerby, and Zach, we have some really, really fun stuff to talk about. The news broke Saturday. Mison Johnson Cook commits to the Auburn Tigers. If you're living under a rock, he's one of the best running backs in the country. And he's not just your typical 5'10", 200-pound running back. We're talking, 6'1 and a half, 6'2", depending on who you ask, 220-plus. I saw somebody say that when he came to Auburn on a camp and weighed in, he was like 240, and it ain't a bad 240. Still runs just crazy 100-yard dash stuff, like everything you could ever ask for in an elite running back that could walk in and play his very first snap. I mean, he could play right away. Zach, real quick, just tell me how much you love him. And then there's some narratives that when they talk about killing multiple birds with one stone, this particular signee slaughters some really, really bad narratives. And we're going to go through each one of those. But first off,
slaughters, pure devastation.
I want you to tell me how much you love this running back.
No, I mean, yeah, there's so much to love about everything that he does. I mean, his tape, you just got to watch it for a second to understand how dominant he is. You can see the burst, the open end speed as well, especially for his size, but the size and the power, Kyle, like it's mesmerizing. And just to kind of see it play after play after play, highlight after highlight. And like you said, whether he's 225 or 240, it doesn't matter. Because there's not an ounce of fat on this kid. Like, he is chiseled in every single way that you want a prospective athlete to look. And, I don't want to say I'm concerned, but, like, I think his frame can handle more than what's on it right now. And, like, I don't know if I want a 240-pound running back, but if he's not going to, sacrifice any sort of burst or speed, okay, sure, sign me up.
Yeah, it's like if he's still fast, get as big as you want to get, big guy. Like go as big as you can as long as you don't lose any bursts. No, I agree. The one cut and explode is really, really fun to watch. You and I talked about his level of competition. I can see where someone could say that's, a little somewhat concerning, but everybody in the world wanted this kid. Everybody in the world is still going to try to get this kid.
Sure.
But in the meantime, he's Auburn's, and it's just easier to keep a kid than it is to flip a kid.
And always have been, always has been, always will be.
Always will be. So I want to talk about, though, Zach, some narratives. Okay, we can talk about Mison, all night long, but I want to talk about some narratives that I feel like ever since the staff's gotten here, and then really have kicked up as of late because of the lack of commits, the decommitment, all that good stuff. I want to talk about the narratives because I feel like this one guy kind of shatters all of those. I went with Slaughters first, really should have gone with Shatters. I guess they both work. But let's stick with Shatters for this one. Number one, you ready for this? I got some banners made.
Ready for this? No, you didn't.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Here we go. A G5 staff can't land P4 talent.
You could have made like real lower thirds.
We went with banners, bro. Let's just go with this. This is amateur hour, so we're going to go with this. I've heard this. I know you've heard this particularly. Can these guys come in and land these big time, high four, borderline five-star guys? Can these guys do it? And they pretty much did it.
Yeah, which was stupid to begin with, right? Because you're telling me Keyshawn Singleton wouldn't have ended up at a P4 school. You're telling me Byron Brown wouldn't have ended up at a P4 school if they didn't follow Alex Gulch, Cole Best. Like, are you kidding me? Are you dumb? That was a stupid narrative to begin with. But yeah, since A-Day, they've picked up two guys, both, four stars across the board. Have clear pathways to playing time early in their careers at Auburn. And then obviously they had Donovan Moore before that. So yeah. The volume hasn't really come in there from the high school ranks, but One, I think it's coming. Two, you know, in this day and age, like I'd rather have quality from the high school ranks to begin with too. And then you fill it in with portal guys. But yeah, I mean, this narrative is already dumb, but over the weekend that it got dumber.
I saw someone, TK, he posted that we're talking about how fast Meissen was. 10.4, 100 meter. And I think Bo Jackson was somewhere around like 10.3, 100 meter or something like that coming out of high school, running the decathlon and all that kind of stuff. So
you see Bo Jackson when you watch this kid?
No, I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
That's Chad, did he just say – Meissen is the next Bo Jackson?
First of all, I didn't say that. TK said that.
Chad, is that what Kyle just said? Let me know. That's what I heard. I think it's a little dramatic, but I hope you're right.
No, that's not what I said. If I would have said that, I would have said Meissen is the next Bo Jackson. That's not what I said. But anyway, to that narrative, you mentioned Donovan Moore. You got three commits now, all inside the top 250 as far as players in the country. The volume, I'm sure, is going to tick up here soon. This is commit season. This is coach visit season, all that good stuff. So I'm with you. I think that was a narrative that was completely dumb to begin with, but it was out there, and it was completely shattered. Narrative number two. Cohen is still hindering our NIL. That's why we don't have any commits. Mm. Cohen's still got his hand in the cookie jar.
Mm.
What are we going to do? He's keeping Auburn sports down. Cohen is the boogeyman. We will never be good at football or at any sport as long as John Cohen's hands are on everything. What are we going to do about John Cohen and his hands on our NIL, Zach?
So I hadn't heard this that much, if I'm being honest. I haven't heard this one, but I'm seeing it on your poorly made lower third graphic there. So I don't know what's more the effort that you put into these lower thirds for production or the narrative itself. I don't know which one's weaker. I'm going to be 100% honest with you.
You've heard this. Come on now. This was I heard it
through the lens of the, like, you know, the clearinghouse thing going into play like last August 1st. I've heard that, but I haven't heard it since then. I mean, if you're saying that, it's probably coming from the same folks who pitched a fit about him moving the Baylor game. It's like, well, what do you want? What do you want? You want NIL? Okay, he's doing innovative things to raise that. And look, this Auburn roster costs more this year than it did this previous season. You know, the last year under Hugh Freeze, and we all talked about how great that talent was. Now, that might make some people upset. It's like, we're paying people what? But at some point, you got to trust evaluations. You got to trust the open market. I don't think this narrative is real. It does certainly seem like when you look at, you know, Meissen's recruitment, NIL had been a big part of it throughout. And one of several reasons to go to Miami is they're kind of known to throw NIL money around. And then, you know, for the last 3 weeks, it's been Miami for Meissen. And then in the final hour, you know, sounds like Auburn dropped the bag. I mean, just to be frank, like I'm not saying that he didn't have a great relationship with Auburn staff. I'm not saying that. But to act like NIL is not a part of this recruitment and part of this win, I think would be a little silly. This one seems similar to me to what Freeze did for Walker White. Where like Walker was going to Clemson. Auburn
or Joe Phillips. Like, Joe Phillips was another one where it's like Georgia, and then week of, boom, they flipped the switch.
Yeah, but you know, at least for Joe Phillips, though, like Auburn was trending, and then like it was Auburn for the longest time, and then there was a 2 week span where Georgia made him a priority, and he's like, oh, I guess I'm going to go to Georgia, and Auburn's like, no, we'll get it done. Stay here. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think both of those are points. So, yeah, they did something behind the scenes to get it done, which is all that matters.
This is – so if people are wondering where this is coming from, if you go back to last summer, there was a lot of talk about – remember that August 1st date? When August 1st rolls around, everything's going to change. And he did sort of take a more conservative approach, and I think we – probably lost some battles. Now, it wouldn't have mattered because the season was a complete disaster. So it wouldn't have mattered, I don't think, if we would have been throwing bags or not. Like, it was going to fall apart regardless. But I think a lot of the concern was, hey, up until just recently, we had two commits and you had a decommitment, and everybody was like, oh, man, it's still Cohen's still got his thumb on NIL and he's not giving these coaches what they need and blah, 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 blah. And to your point, Zach, do you get kids from Miami that just love ball? Like, when you beat Miami for a kid, is it just because, man, I just love ball and hate money? I just don't want to go to Miami and make a ton of money. I just love ball. I want to go somewhere where it's just ball.
Right.
You think that's the case?
No, I don't.
Absolutely not. And then, Zach, do you think that Miami is going to be in the middle of the pack as far as money goes, bottom half, top half, or are they pretty much going to be the market setter as far as money goes?
No, they're going to be the market setter as far as money goes. 100%.
Okay. So let's take all that into account. You take on one-on-one with the school that's pretty much setting the market as far as NIL price goes, and then you beat them. And I know some will may argue, well, is a running back worth that? Doesn't matter. You go.
That is a reasonable question.
Sure.
And that is one that we will talk at some point about, but I don't think this weekend is the time to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Let's celebrate for now.
Absolutely not.
That is an extremely reasonable question.
The point is, if you're going to say Cohen is the one that's holding NIL down, and then Auburn turns around and punches Miami in the mouth and basically knocks them down for this kid and wins the NIL battle, something's got to give somewhere. Like, we got to give credit where credit's due somewhere, right?
Yeah, for sure. The throwing Cohen in there, I think, is interesting to me. Like, I don't know. I think that dude's done a ton when it comes to fundraising to get the money aspect of it. So, you know, like, is some people might think this is happening, but like, I just don't think John Cohen is sitting there saying like, yes, you know, you can
rubber stamp in NIL deals.
Right. Like, I just don't think that's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Got a super chat. If Cohen's meddling with NIL, then what do you want him to do instead? I don't know how to, I don't know if he said that, how he wanted to say it.
Rev, say that again in a different way.
Say it again in a different way. Yeah. All right. Let's go to the, Don't do the last one yet. Okay.
Don't do the last one yet.
What do you got?
Well, just say something else. I'm making a lower third for it.
So you're saying don't do banners? Come on,
don't
man.
Don't do it yet.
I got you. I really like Mysen Johnson Cook. I'm not going to lie. I think he's phenomenal. No, I tell you, it's fun. It is fun being able to go toe-to-toe with, you know, you just got beat by Oregon for a quarterback. You're kind of reeling. You're sad. You're thinking, will we ever be able to compete with these guys that have the money? And then, again, you take down Miami for this running back. Are you done yet?
Let's see. It's uploading. Let's see how it looks. Okay. All right.
This is one that I've heard. This staff is all about ball. They're not about money. It's Brian Harsin 2.0. If you come in and you talk about money, then we don't want you, basically. That's
yeah, which lower third is better? This one or the previous two? Let us know.
Or this one. All right, get back on track. We gotta get real. Gotta get reeled in. Have you heard this one? What do you think about it? Does this
one a ton? And like, I'm going to be honest, I've asked this myself to some extent, just because we haven't seen it yet. And it's like, okay, well, you know, we heard what it took to get Byram and some of these other guys in the portal, but then like, you look at what Byram reportedly cost in the portal compared to other top quarterbacks, and it's like, It is less. Like, it does seem like we got a little bit of a discount there. I think he could have made more if he really wanted to. And so, like, I do think that there was an argument for this. I do. I've asked that question. So now I don't think you can ask that question. Now I think you can say, all right, like, clearly Miami was ready to pay Meissen, and then he changed his mind. So at least you think Auburn matched it, at least.
Yeah.
And it's like, from the Miami side of it, the way Miami people are talking about it, I mean, it sounds like Auburn blew him out of the water. That's what it sounds like.
Whether it was dollar amount or the way it's being executed, it was clearly way more favorable. Reverend Barnbooster clarified it. If the narrative is he's meddling with NIL, okay, then what do you want him to do instead of that? So, like, what do you suspect? What do you want his responsibilities to be then? Like, if you're saying, what should he be doing in your mind? If you think he's meddling in NIL, what are the other things he should be doing? I guess.
Sorry, I was reading the chat, making fun of my lower third. Is the narrative? Yeah. Okay. All right.
So let me ask you this. Should he be involved in NIL from the standpoint of how it's executed?
No.
Okay.
His job should be making the salary pool, if you will, as large as possible
for players.
And it should not be up to him to say, oh, well, a quarterback is worth this, a running back is worth this, your recruiting class is worth this. That is for the Auburn head coach and for the GM.
Should he have any input on anything that could be a potential, I know this is almost a joke now, violation of rule, like the way it's executed? Should he have any input on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And have there, huh?
That's his job.
Yeah, exactly. So have there been times where maybe he was overcautious? Do you think that's an accurate term as far as, like, Has he been a little bit more cautious than maybe we would like at times, particularly last year? I think that's probably fair to an extent.
Yeah, and there's a chance. Like, there's a chance now. Like, you know, hindsight's, as Coach Dio used to say, hindsight's 50-50.
Right.
I mean, there's a chance that the recruiting struggles for Freeze's last year were just him golfing all the time. There's a chance that he was, like, totally checked out, which is what we've heard from folks that have kind of been removed from the program now. So did Auburn handle that by trusting the NCAA and the powers that be too much? Possibly. Like, that I don't think that was ideal. I think we all kind of called that as it was happening. But I think
it could have been a cop-out a little bit too.
I think it could have been a cop-out. But, like, I don't think John Cohen was defending Hugh Freeze, though. Like, I think John Cohen was doing what he thought was best for Auburn. But also, like, it wouldn't have mattered. I think a lot of people would have left anyway Hugh Freeze was fired. So,
Bottom line.
Not the top line.
The bottom line.
Bottom one.
Everyone has to be... You got to be as aggressive as you can possibly be if you're going to land a kid like Meissen Johnson Cook, especially when you're going up against Miami. And you know what? You still got to be aggressive next week with him and 2 months down the road with him. And you're going to have to be aggressive with this kid even after he signs, because now you can still go in the portal, I guess, technically, after you sign your letter of intent. You can still go in the portal. So until he enrolls and he's on campus, you're not going to be able to relax, because everybody is going to really, really want this kid. The last one was this staff won't pay players. I've heard that too, where it's like, man, if they come in asking for money, they're just not going to – they're not going to fool with it. They're going to – you know, it's all about ball. And I think what this proves is that when they identify the guy that they want – they're willing to go do whatever it takes to get them. Super chat real quick, Zach, and then I got a question for you. Preston Howard is greater than Zach's AI helmet from 10-time champ. Just one of them.
Have about the same amount of catches. So,
do you think, Zach, if Will Mensel chooses Auburn, that this kid is in the picture, or do you think he goes to Miami? That's a tough question.
I think they're separate, isolated scenarios.
So you don't think – you think that they still do whatever they got to do to get this kid, even if you don't
– So you were sitting next to me when we were told that Meissen is one of the guys on their board that is a blank check player.
Sure.
You were sitting right next to me when we were told that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean literally pay him anything? No, but I think that's a guy that they're like, no, we're willing to spend on this guy. I also would bet that Will Mensel is one of those guys.
Sure.
So
how many of those guys can you have in one class?
Eight? It's tough.
Maybe so. I just wonder.
Carlos May's probably in that discussion, right? Donovan Moore's probably in that discussion, right?
The only reason Donovan Moore may not be is because he grew up an Auburn fan. So I think that helps Auburn quite a bit.
I think there's an argument that might make Golish want him even more.
I could see that. Let me back up though. Let me talk about why I say
back it up.
Why I say that I think
back it up, my guy.
I think the Will Mensel thing played into this is from an urgency standpoint is because Meissen was gone. Okay, he left his visit. Will Mensel commits to Oregon. And if you remember that Sunday night, whenever it started to leak and Steve Wiltfong put out his thing on Oregon's website that he feels really good about his prediction about Oregon, mm-hmm. you know, sticking and keeping Will Mensel or getting his commitment. Shortly about that time, that's when you heard Meissen Johnson Cook's going to make a last-minute visit to Auburn. So I just wonder if that made them turn up the heat and say, hey, we got to get a big win under our belt. And maybe we kind of thought we would shoot our shot at Mensel, and then we just pivoted real quick to Meissen and got that one done. That's where I was going with that. That's my train of logic.
It's not a bad train of logic. My big question of that whole hypothesis is, does this staff care about winning and perception?
And you still think that's no. That's not part of their thought process.
I don't think he cares. I think he cares about getting the guys in the boat. I could be wrong. I don't think that's it.
You don't think that matters. They haven't really done anything yet to make me necessarily think that they chase any headlines. I guess though, it's a pretty easy headline to chase when you're going to get a running back like this. That's a pretty safe headline to chase that you feel like you're, you know, probably going to hit on that one. He's probably going to be pretty good.
It's your first year as an SEC head coach. Any recruit you get is going to be a headline for the next 3 to 4 days. Doesn't matter who it is, especially Meissen, 100%. A guy, you know, one of the best running backs in this class, certainly going to move the needle, especially when he's saying he wants to run the piss out of the football. That's awesome. You need a guy like Meissen to do that at an elite level. But I don't think that they upped it for Meissen because they missed out on Mensel. That's just my guess.
You think that I
think it's isolated issues.
Gotcha. Two completely separate.
Yeah.
I think they may be a little bit related, but I do understand what you're talking about. And, you know, again, I don't know how much, like I don't know that I can put a percentage on how much the Will Mensel thing played into it, but the timing, I'm still kind of got my eyes on. And I don't think it diminishes anything. I don't think it like diminishes the getting him because of.
But the timing, Will Mensel was going to announce on that day, and Meissen was going to announce a few days later. Like, that was always
Well, there wasn't a concrete date for either, I don't think. Or maybe there was a concrete date for Meissen.
Meissen's was concrete and Menzel just kind of
was
did
not.
His.
It was not. Exactly.
Okay.
And that may be solidify my opinion even more because you know the Menzel thing came out of the blue and they knew they only had a few days to make their move on Meissen and got that last minute visit. It doesn't really matter in the whole grand scheme of things because hey, you got him. You got the headlines and you've shattered all of my awesome narratives in my graphics that I made, my banners that I made.
They're really good.
Baseball, big series win.
Massive. I mean, you went into the weekend, kind of that log jam behind Georgia. Of, okay, you know, who in the conference is going to kind of edge out? I mean, everybody ends the season with just this murderer's row, and Auburn's right in the thick of it. And it features a home series against Oklahoma where both teams have the same overall record.
It
both
was like
teams go into it with the exact same conference record. And you're tied going into the third game of the season. I mean, it's everything you want. Everything you want. When you talk about hosting opportunities, potentially being on the line, and what does Auburn's offense do? They go absolutely nuclear. And a big part of that, Kyle, is because they did enough for Oklahoma to have to use four pitchers on Friday and Saturday. They ran out of arms. And you can tell the moment they ran out of arms because, you know, I think it was their second guy they put in today, and it's like he couldn't throw strikes, and when he did, we just blasted the kid, and they didn't really have anybody else to go to, and it's like, oh, we got a really good shot here. So Ethan Bingaman, you gotta think he's going to be in the conversation for freshman All-American. He's been unbelievable, and of course what, three homers today, insane
walk-off bomb. His home run to his last home run and Bub's home run were absolute, just like nuclear shots.
I don't
like,
think they've landed yet.
They haven't. I'm a little bit concerned. I've got to go look at the GPS and make sure that my house doesn't face center field. I don't think it does. I think I'm safe. It could hit it when it comes on the way back around on the other side, side of orbit. Yeah. But
I feel like you as a realtor should know like which houses are like, you know,
in range.
Could get bub bombed.
That is, man, I got to write that down. When I get a listing and it could say, could possibly be Bub bombed or Bingaman banged. How about that? Yeah, maybe we won't do that one. But you're right. That was big for you go to Texas A&M coming up, which is not going to be fun. You go to Mississippi State. Holy cow.
And yeah, then, I think they're all top four.
And you get Georgia at home, who I think leads the world in home runs, if I'm not mistaken.
So we're fifth in the SEC right now, and our final three games are against number one, number two, and number four, or final three series. So and we already have the toughest strength of schedule in college baseball, so it's just going to get tougher.
This team's good, though, man.
Yeah, they can hang.
The bats are coming alive for sure. Going to be a fun week of shows. Zach, you got anything else you want to add on the whole Meissen Johnson Cook thing or like as far as recruiting? And you jumped all the way up to the 12th rated class, I think, on three, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, Rivals 12th and then 247 is like 54th, I think.
Their ranking system, their formulas are a little bit different.
I mean, clearly, right? Clearly. Yeah. No, it definitely seems like 247s ranks more on quantity. And then when you look at Rivals, though, like Miami's right ahead of us. They've got like five or six. There's a lot of folks that are only like two or three more players ahead of us.
Yeah.
Which is something you and I've talked about. There's a few, right? Like Oklahoma, I think, has 19. A&M has like 14 or so. But a lot of schools are in single digits to 10, which, you know, is still ahead of Auburn. But I do think some of the, like, you know, the folks that are really kind of picking on Auburn's recruiting class, like, I don't think they've actually, like, really sat down and looked at, like, oh, Auburn's a good recruiting weekend away from having the same amount of guys committed as a lot of these.
And there's guys out there, too, like, that I feel like Auburn could get in the boat at any point in time and You know, you got your Carlos May that you're, that you've been taught. Jabarius Guerrer, who you got to decommit from Alabama. Nash Johnson, who you got to decommit from Alabama. Deshaun Hall, you know, the big four-star wide receiver from Prattville. Jeremiah Culpepper, you know, all those guys have all had Auburn at the tops of their list, and they're all very highly rated players that you could get to pull the trigger at seemingly any point in time right now. And I think this is a good seat, this little window where the coaches can go out on the road and actually visit and recruit is, I think we'll start to see a lot more commits pop, maybe across the country. So
I agree.
Could be a fun couple of weeks, and we will keep you updated for sure. Guys, thank y'all for joining us on our Sunday night live. Zach, anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
No, love you long time.
Where should people go buy stuff? Like, if you want to shop and you want to do stuff, what should you look first?
I think you should go to buyauburn.com.
You should definitely start your search at buyauburn.com, no matter where you are in the country. We've added well over 20 businesses, and we're keeping on adding Auburn-owned businesses all across the country every single day. So make sure you go to buyauburn.com. And if you have an Auburn-owned business and you want to list it, it's less than a dollar a day. So what better way to get it out there and support the Auburn family than to buy Auburn? Guys, y'all take it easy. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll be back all daggum week long. We're out of here. Woo!